Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. Today we have on our show a special guest, Dr. David Berlinski, who we're speaking to from Paris, France. And we thought it was appropriate to interview Dr. Berlinski recently because, as many have heard in the press, the Council of Europe, which claims to be the leading human rights body in Europe, has passed a resolution called The Dangers of Creationism in Education, where, of course, they, in their infinite wisdom, have decided that not only is intelligent design the equivalent of creationism, but it is also a threat to human rights. So we have Dr. Berlinski on the phone with us right now to talk to us about this resolution. Dr. Berlinski, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
My pleasure.
Well, first off, have you had a chance to read this resolution?
Yeah, sure. I looked it over with the usual feeling of mute incomprehension and dismay. I have no idea why they decided to pass it right now and to promulgate it with such enthusiasm, but there it is. It's like a dead fish in the European market. And like so many dead fish, by moonlight, it shimmers and shines.
Okay.
It's been everywhere in the European papers, certainly in the French papers, and it's caused a little ripple of interest and amusement, but that's about all. I don't know whether it is as regally significant as you might expect. I myself expect that within a couple of weeks it will be completely dismissed and forgotten.
Now, how do you feel when a bunch of angry French atheists claim that you fraternize with people who pose a threat to human rights?
I suppose you're talking about me personally, fraternizing with people who pose a threat to human rights. And in that case, I'm delighted to be fraternizing with those people. If this is what a threat to human rights amounts to, count me among its supporters. I'm threatening away with the best of one. But of course, this is all perfectly bizarre. It's a rhetorical tactic. It corresponds to nothing in reality. And the people who are advocating the rhetoric perfectly well understand this. I have never yet met an angry French atheist.
You haven't, really?
No, the French atheists I know are perfectly well contented with their lives and don't for a minute trouble themselves over dinner with concerns about atheism and religious fundamentalism.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
This is part of an ongoing political theater of the absurd about the nature and proper role of ideology in European affairs.
And who is promoting the ideology here?
The ideology really is a European-wide ideology. You've got to remember that Europe is a very bizarre construction right now. On the one hand, there are all the old and ancient nation-states of Europe in very much a parlous condition with respect to the power that they had before the First World War. They're very diminished entities on the world scene, and certainly everyone in France and Germany understands this. On the other hand, just two rhetorical fall-ins in the discussion for the moment, there's the European Union, which is kind of spider-like, enveloping, relatively neutral, gray bureaucratic entity for whose existence no one can provide a very plausible explanation. Nonetheless, it's there, and because it's there, profoundly anti-democratic, I might add, because it's there, it requires some sort of a sustaining ideology. Now, if you were someone regarding Europe as a single entity, a political, cultural entity, and you had even the most minimal memory of European experiences in the 20th century, just what ideology would you find attractive? None of the old ideologies can even be mentioned on this continent. No one is particularly minded to talk about nationalism, the power of the state, or any of the old chivalrous that was so animating and so destructive for more than 100 years. So what are you left with? People can say they're a party of the Enlightenment. That's always safe. Nobody's inclined to doubt that. And they can also appeal to a kind of colorless sense of rationality and scientific probity, which gives everyone who indulges in it a very secure sense that they're not doing anything dangerous. That's really the basis of European ideology. It can be encapsulated in two words, safety first.
And do you think that this ideology has played into this resolution?
Of course, it is the resolution. Of course, these people are sufficiently pusillanimous that they don't want to address the one specter that causes them real anxiety. And that's not just fundamentalism, it's Islamic fundamentalism. That can't really be mentioned too vigorously.
It's my understanding that the Council of Europe does not have any official governmental power. It's basically a non-governmental organization that serves sort of just as a figurehead to make resolutions and to make statements, but doesn't actually have any true political power.
That's
true of
about 99% of the bureaucratic offices of the European Union. They don't really have any power. They just make a lot. They pass a lot of resolutions, declare a lot of laws, and generally get in everyone's way. There is the 1% that has a good deal of power, of course. But by and large, the European Union is, in its various offices, impotent. And that's true for the council that you mentioned as well.
Well, that helps. That helps a lot. I want to get into the actual text of the resolution right now, which says some interesting things. It says, from a scientific viewpoint, there is absolutely no doubt that evolution is a central theory for our understanding of life on Earth. My question for you is, does it make sense for a sentence beginning with the words, from a scientific viewpoint, to then immediately assert there is absolutely no doubt?
Well, under normal circumstances, I would say that they're reprehensible. But when you look at that sentence with a little more attention, you'll realize that what it says is a perfect triviality. From a scientific point of view, that's vacuous. There is no doubt that evolution is a central theory. What were the exact words? Central
theory for our understanding of life on Earth.
Sure. I mean, how can you go wrong by saying that Darwin's theory of evolution is a central theory? It does not affirm that it's true, plausible, or even probable. But if by a central theory you mean it's the one theory to which devout atheists, for example, religiously appeal, that's obviously so.
Fair enough. There's another interesting statement here in which it says that creationism claims to be on scientific rigor. In fact, the actual methods employed by creationists are of three types. And of course, when they say creationism, they've already equated it with intelligent design. So, you know, we of course would dispute that equation, but they would just make it without really any evidence. But they say that the methods employed by creationists are of three types: purely dogmatic assertions, distorted use of scientific quotations, sometimes illustrated with magnificent photographs, and backing from more or less well-known scientists, most of whom are not specialists in these matters. By these means, creationists seek to appeal to non-specialists and sow doubt and confusion in their minds.
A great risk, sowing doubt and confusion in the unsophisticated minds of the general public who's funding research. Got to avoid that at all costs. Who knows what poor ideas people might take from that?
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you one of those more or less well-known scientists who is, quote, not a specialist in these matters? And if so, why should I even bother talking to you about this resolution?
No, I assume the question is being posed rhetorically on behalf of the eponymous Council of Europe.
Oh, of course.
It's not your question, not the Discovery Institute's question. I think we have to be realistic. I mean, when we talk about specialists in the theory of evolution, my goodness, spend a half a day with a textbook on evolution, you too can become a specialist. There's not much there, after all. And most of the textbooks are half pictures anyway. So the thesis that only masters of an infinitely rigorous science have a right to speculate on evolutionary doctrine is perfectly ridiculous. If you were talking about quantum cosmology, I'd say, yeah, you got a point. You got to learn some quantum cosmology. But Darwin's theory of evolution, a handful of words, a couple of claims, and not very much evidence.
Okay.
But in answer to your question, sure, I'm one of the non-experts who doubts Darwin's theory of evolution.
Okay, well, as one of those non-experts, I mean, you've done a fair amount of writing on this topic. What are your reasons and your non-expert opinion why we should doubt Darwinian evolution?
Well, let me correct you on one point. The fact that I'm not an expert hardly justifies the claims that my opinions are not expert. I regard them as a superbly expert. But with that caveat having been introduced, my objections to Darwinian theory are, first and foremost, that there's no theory there. Like Oakland, there is no theory there. It consists of a series of relatively vacuous speculation, not a whole lot of evidence, inconsistent findings from the fossil record, virtually no solid experimental demonstration beyond the level of antibiotic resistance or beak finch variation, very little by way of supporting evidence from computer simulation or computer analysis of competitive algorithms. And with all this on the table, and I think really acknowledged by good biologists, why on earth should anyone defer to Darwin's theory of evolution as a completely plausible, consistent, or even a coherent explanation for the emergence and diversification of life on Earth? I can't see a reason. I don't know why anyone else should.
Let's get back to the Council of Europe's resolution and this alleged claim that we pose a threat to human rights. The Council of Europe's resolution warns that if we are not, quote, if we are not careful, the values that are the very essence of the Council of Europe will be under direct threat from creationist fundamentalists, unquote.
You got to take all that with a grain of salt. These people have really been spooked by the history of European affairs over the last 100 years. I mean, for anybody who remembers the Great War lasting from 1914 to 1945, and the really monstrous assault, not only on human rights, but on human life and human dignity, to turn around and talk about religious affiliations and religious doctrines as if they posed a threat to human rights is so richly preposterous that only a man born with a petrified diaphragm could read something like that and fail to laugh himself into a paroxysm of hysteria. It's grotesque. That's all you can say.
So they're talking about the values of the Council of Europe are under threat. Is it possible that they're saying that the Council of Europe's dogmatism might be under threat from free thinkers? I mean, what are these values of the Council of Europe?
Do you understand the tactic, which is familiar for, in used car lots the world over, of bait and switch? Of course you do. What they're saying is what is safe. They're saying there's a threat to the European identity and its existence. Quite true, there is. But it's not coming from Christianity. It's not coming from creationism. It's coming from something unmentionable. They don't want to mention it because they get in big trouble every time they do. And not only big trouble, but these guys open their mouth a little too wide and somebody's sure to throw a bomb at them.
Take it
from me. Nobody in Europe wants to appear on some grainy video babbling inanely in an attempt to preserve their life.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess the last question I have for you, Dr. Berlinski, is they say that some advocates of strict creationism are out to replace democracy by theocracy. And I'm wondering, are you one of those people? And if so, what will the theocracy look like?
It depends on the position I'm offered.
Fair enough. I assume that there will be good French wine in the theocracy?
I sure hope so. I'm counting on it, in fact.
All right, well, Dr. David Berlinski, it's really wonderful to have you on our show today, calling us all the way from Paris, France, nearby, relatively speaking, where they passed this resolution on the dangers of creationism in education, and we appreciate getting your opinion to help us understand a little bit more about why this resolution was passed. This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast signing off. Thank you for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.